Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelf. Today joining me is Jeff Fiegels talking Giants and NFL football with you. 201-939-4513. That's how you get in touch with us to talk about the New York football Giants. We start a little bit late today. Thought we'd give everybody a chance to watch the beginning of the inauguration speech. I know a lot of the country obviously tuned into that. But now as Fiegel takes his oath of Big Blue Kickoff Live, but we're here to give you a break from the mundane things of life and get back into the toy department, have some fun, talk some Giants and NFL football. So let's get to it, Jeff. I took about 3 hours yesterday in the afternoon, and I went through.
A slow day at the office. No.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy. But I went through a lot of the numbers, and one question we've gotten on this show an awful lot this year is why the Giants offense took a step back this year as opposed to what it did in 2015. The talent on the offensive line was identical from 1 year to the next, give or take. The wide receiver talent actually improved.
Added a Cruz, added a Sterling Shepard.
Right. You have the same quarterback in Eli Manning, same tight ends more or less. So talent-wise, the offense was the same, if not better, than it was last year.
Change.
So why, then, did the offense get so much worse? And look, I don't have to give you the numbers. We know what happened to the offense last year. And the bottom line is points. The Giants scored points less per game. Last year, they were at about 26 points per game. This week, they were about 19 points per game. Some overall numbers, too, that are jarring, and we'll get back to the whys of this in a second. But this year, the Giants average about 18 first downs per game, 29th in the league. Last year, they were 12th in the league, averaging 20.3 first downs per game.
What was the first number?
18.1.
18 in the
year
before.
So 2.5. Fewer first downs per game.
Which is two more possessions.
Could be.
Which
we
could
two more scores.
To maybe one more score.
Yeah. Exactly.
So follow us here, people. We're going to try to give you a little tail of the tape, right?
And now we're going to give you the why. And really what I kind of found from looking at this, Jeff, is that it is really a huge trickle-down effect.
Yep.
And one thing affects the next, it affects the next, and that's how the Giants got to where they were this year, not scoring 20 points in any of their final six games. All right, folks, so here we go. It all starts on first down. This year, 30% of the Giants' runs on first down went for 4 or more yards. Just 30%. That is the lowest percentage in the NFL.
Went for how many?
4 or more yards.
Or more. Okay.
So that means 70% of the Giants' runs went for less than 4 yards on first down.
And when you think about, and you'll get to the running and the passing on first down, but what do you try to go for as per rush? 4 yards is like the mark.
Correct.
So they couldn't even.
So that's theoretically failure on 70% of your first down runs, okay? Last year, and you're going to say, well, the Giants didn't run the ball last year, John. What's the difference? Not so much the case. Last year, the Giants were the seventh best running teams on first down. They had 44% of their runs go for 4 or more yards. Seventh best in the NFL. So that's a 15% decrease from last year to this year, okay? That's a fairly significant number.
And one thing I think we need to include in that number, I don't know, does this include the negative portion of that run? So it's less than 4, which could be even a -3 in there.
It could be, and you're right. And the Giants this year led the NFL in negative plays. Last year, they were next to last. So that hasn't really changed. That has been the case. But
total negative plays or first down negative plays?
Negative plays, total overall.
Total
but the fact that Eli Manning has been sacked in the bottom five of quarterbacks, where are those negative plays coming from?
On the run game.
They're coming from the run game. They have to, okay? So that's number one. And you're going to say, well, that's John. Do you know why? It's because the Giants run it every time on first down. They're predictable, right? Not so much. Giants ran 52% of the time on first down this year, 11th highest percentage in the league. So they're right near the middle.
Okay.
That's as balanced as you can get. Last year, they were at 51%. So they're literally the same from last year to this year.
Without the same production, they were down 15%.
Correct. Okay. Now, what does that turn into second downs? A lot
long.
Of second and longs, right?
Long.
This year, the Giants averaged second 8.1 yards, 23rd in the league, okay?
That's hard.
Last year, the Giants were the best team in football on average second down and distance to go. Second down and 7. Believe it or not, all the teams are stacked up in just like about a yard and a half range there between 7 and 9 yards.
Because they were 11th in first down.
Right.
because now you're that. And what you what'd you ask me when you're 31st or 32nd in the league?
Negative plays. That's right. What happens.
You're in second and long. So last year they were not in second and long all that much.
Let that sink in. The best in the league last year on second downs, this year they were 23rd. That is a significant decrease that could explain some of these issues. Okay? Now we're going to slide to third down. Well, what happens? If you can't run it on first down, then all of a sudden you're in second and 8, second and 9, second and 12. What's going to happen? You're going to be in third and long a lot, right?
Is there a percentage of pass to run on second down? Did you get that one?
I did not have that number.
I'm curious what that one was.
They actually did run the ball very well on second down this year, believe it or not. They were, I believe, top 10 in the league in rushing average on second down, if that means anything to you.
Well, it does, because it means to me that teams were thinking if they were in second and long that most likely it would be a pass. They're trying to, you know, fool them a little
Correct.
Bit.
So you get the third down, and these numbers are fairly jarring. On third and between 6 and 9 yards, which is not extremely long, but it's not third and short. It's between short and medium, third and medium and third and long. The Giants were the worst team in the NFL, dead last, converting on third downs between 6 and 9 yards. Just 24.6% of the time. Last year, they were around 30%. Okay? On third down and 10-plus yards, they were 25th in the NFL. And here's the big drop from last year. On third down between 4 and 5 yards, which theoretically is a very manageable down and distance, okay? They went from fourth in the league last year, converting 55% of those, to this year, 24th in the league, completing just 41%. That is a 14% drop in converting third down between 4 and 5 yards. So overall, when you're trying to convert between 3rd and 4 and 3rd and 9, the Giants were near the bottom of the league in that category. That is a big, big problem when you can't run the ball on early downs to get yourself into 3rd and 1 between 3rd and 1 and 3rd and 3. It's a problem.
And it also it all correlates to this. Your possessions in a game, because you cannot convert those third downs, which ultimately relate to scoring. If you have less possessions than the other team, you're not going to be scoring as much as the other team. And how this team won 11 games this year with that type, those type of offensive statistics is pretty mind-boggling. Tells you how good the defense was.
And what does that lead to? A lot of three and outs. How about this one? And this I found amazing. I'm going to let you guess because I haven't told you this number yet.
Well, I'll tell you, before you start it, I know that Brad Wing had over 90 punts this season.
And that tells you that they're
going three and out a lot. So all I got to do is look at that number, and then you can ask me this question.
What percentage do you think of Giants drives this year ended in three and outs? Take a guess.
Drives that ended in
three and
outs.
What percentage of the Giants drives ended in three and outs?
I'm going to go 45%.
Okay, it wasn't that bad. It was 30%.
Okay.
But at 30%, 30th in the league. So only two teams in the whole NFL had more of their drives end in three and outs than the New York Giants. Last year, they were 13th at just 20%. So that number jumped 10%.
It's a lot.
From last year to this year in terms of three and outs. 29th in the league in total first downs this year, the Giants. 12th last year. So that's the trickle-down effect I'm talking about, where your lack of success on first down gets you in second and long, gets you in third and medium to third and long, and they failed to convert those. So, and the worst part of it, Jeff, it's not like they couldn't run the ball against eight-man fronts. Teams were literally daring the Giants to run against 6- and 7-man boxes,
they couldn't do it. Right.
I
think if when you look at that whole picture, it tells you a little bit more about the offensive line and their run-blocking ability than anything, in my opinion.
All right, by the way, if you're watching on Facebook, go to Giants.com, go to the Giants mobile app. You can watch the rest of the show there. Thanks a lot for joining us. I will say this, too.
And Twitter?
And Twitter, of course. I watched a ton of Paul Perkins tape the last couple of days, but I put together a lot of Inside the Film Room stuff for Carl Banks. He's going to break down Perkins' runs next week. And I watched, I'd say, 75% of his runs this year. He makes more out of nothing than any running back I've seen. Not even after contact. He makes guys miss.
Sure.
I watched a lot of the plays, and there are so many plays where he has guys in the hole or with free runners in the backfield, and he's making a miss with his quickness.
Yeah.
So I honestly believe that Paul Perkins will give this running game, even if the offensive line doesn't change at all, and nobody's advocating that, I think he can make a difference in the running game next year. Now, let's see if he can maintain that those quicks when he's, you know, getting 17 carries a game. Maybe he'll wear down. Who knows?
Well, I think he will, and I think that experience will help him even more.
And it's a shame that he couldn't get here for spring workouts,
yeah.
Because if he would have gotten all that other stuff down earlier in the year, we might have seen him getting more carries
exactly.
In week 6 instead of week 12.
Well, exactly.
Right.
Point. Well, that's when you saw what he did at the end of the year, it just showed you how better he got just because he became familiar with the offense where he missed, you know, he didn't get to come to school early.
Right. Now, I'm going to throw a couple other things out here real quick. The Giants this year, in terms of big plays, and that's one way that you can make up not getting those steady rush yards and getting in third and short and things like that. All right? And this is a big difference. In 2015, the Giants had 52 pass plays of 20 or more yards. This is 2 seasons ago now.
Okay.
They were second in the league with 16 pass plays of 40 yards or more.
In 15?
Yes.
Okay.
This year, both those numbers dropped. They had 6 fewer passes of 20 or more yards and 5 fewer passes, a 30% drop, of 40 yards or more. So that was a significant drop. This year, they were 19th in the league in passes of 20 more yards, 7th in 40 or more yards. But those numbers went down from last year. And I'm going to put some blame on the quarterback here a little bit because I thought this was interesting. This is from Stats, Stats Inc., the website. On balls thrown 21 yards or more in the air this year, the Giants, which means Eli Manning, had a quarterback rating of 52.8, fifth worst in the NFL for any team. Last year, you know where the Giants ranked on throws 21 yards or more in the air?
Fifth.
First.
Whoa.
A quarterback rating of 122.4.
Right. First down and big and plays over 21 yards. Need to work on it.
So getting the ball down the field. And again, these are all things with our eye test that we knew were a problem, and we're seeing the numbers now play them out as you look at it.
Sure.
I mean, you go from 21st in the league on pass plays efficiency, 21 yards or more, to 28th. That's a big, big problem.
You go from first.
And if you want to look at points overall, this will be the last stat I give you before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. I broke down every scoring drive the Giants had from last year and this year, okay? And here are also where some points came into the mix and where it comes back to the defense a little bit, in fairness. In 2015, the Giants had 6 touchdowns that were either special team or defensive scores and a safety.
Okay.
So that accounted for 44 points.
That's in what year?
That was 2015. This past season, they had 4 touchdowns, so 28 points. That's 16 fewer points on defensive plays or on special teams touchdowns. Now, this is where it's more jarring. Last year, on drives, scoring drives of 20 yards or less,
okay,
which means the defense puts you in position with a turnover or a big return on special teams, the Giants scored 33 points. This year, they just scored 10 in those situations.
Sure.
So just taking away the defensive scores and drives of 20 yards or less, they had 77 points on those in 2015. This year, they just had 38. So there's 40 points.
That's a lot.
That's almost 3 points per game.
77.
Over the course of the year.
Plus another point for the one statistic before you just said, because it was 16 points difference to 1 point.
There goes half your point differential, just on defensive scores and scoring points of 20 yards or less.
Well, you said last year they averaged how many points a game?
26. 26, and this year 19.
Okay, so if you add 4 more of those, you're up to 23 on this season.
Right.
Alone.
And then the final thing I'll tell you is drives of 60 yards or more. That's one other thing I broke down. Drives between 40 and 60 yards from last season this year, they're almost identical. There was no change.
Okay.
But on drives of 60 yards or more, which means you have to sustain your drive.
First downs.
And get down the field, get first downs, convert on third downs, et cetera, the Giants scored 255 points on those drives last year.
60 or more.
255 points. 33 touchdowns and 8 field goals. This year on drives of 60 yards or more, they had 8 field goals as well, but just 22 touchdowns. So they scored 11 fewer touchdowns on drives of 60 yards or more for just 179 points. So they lost nearly 70 points. And there's the rest of your scores right there.
Yep.
on being unable to convert on drives of 60 yards or more.
70 divided by 16.
So that's how I spent my afternoon yesterday.
Well, pretty cool. And that's another 4.3 points a game.
Yeah.
Added on to the 4 points that we just said, the 3 and the 1.
And there's your difference.
Plus 4 is 8.375 plus, what'd you say, 19? 27.375.
There you go. So there you have it, folks. If you want to know the statistical reasons why this didn't work this year, it really matched our eye test and the things we talked about all year long. Lack of big plays, inability to run the ball early in downs, and then being unable to convert third and longs. The red zone actually got better this year to last year. It went up about 10%. So that actually helped the offense a little bit in the reverse way.
And it's so funny because when you say, oh, the red zone, when they were better in the red zone, what would you think that would correlate to?
Running game. Right.
Or more points.
Now, in fairness, they still weren't necessarily very good in the red zone. They're only 19th in the league at 53%. But last year, they were just 44%, 29th in the league. So they did get better there, but it's obviously still not where you want to be. Time of possession was identical, just 5 second difference from last year to this year.
5 seconds.
5 seconds longer this year, believe
That's
it or not.
Incredible.
So whatever. That's not obviously a significant difference. Your sack percentage was literally about the same. They were fourth in the league last year, third this league.
Did they protect
Eli Manning.
Did you happen to have a total possessions for the season? How many drives? You know what I'm saying? Possessions in each game.
I do not have that.
I'm interested to see how
I
that correlates
that.
To that one, too.
Their number of 10 plays drives were actually the same from last year to this year, which you wouldn't think based on the scoring that we talked about. So there you have it, folks.
And so then when you look at all these numbers and the coaches are in, this is what they're talking about.
Well, how do you fix it now? I think that's the question, and I'm going to go to our expert here to answer that.
Well, I think you have to look at the tape, and you got to get in, and you got to go to each player and say, you know, okay, so let's pick out one of these statistics. What are we missing on first down? Why are we not running the ball for more than 4 yards? And why are we getting those negative plays on first down? Let's start with the center. Let's start with the guards and move forward, and let's see where it is. It's all about production. It's all about how these guys are playing. It's not just one person. And then all of a sudden, after you look at the personnel, then you look at yourself. Am I calling the right plays on first down? Are we in the right formations on first down? Are we in the right personnel on first down? Lots of stuff. That's why you have an off season to work on all this stuff.
All right, let's get to the calls. Hope I didn't put you to sleep with all those numbers, but I thought I
wanted
to give you a little
nice
bit
job.
Of clarity. Based
nice
on
job,
what,
John Schmoke.
And that's the question we've been getting asked. So I tried to parse through it just a little bit. And somebody actually called up and said, John, do you think they scored fewer points because they were in garbage time situations more last year where they were down a lot and they got a lot of points like in garbage time, like against the Panthers,
sure.
for example.
Yeah,
remember
I
when they
it.
Were up 35-7?
Yeah.
That was not the case. I went back, and even in 2015, they were back and forth a lot. Oh, here's one interesting number, too, I want to give you. And this shows you how delicate – winning and losing can be from year to year. And I think this is a number that Giant fans should be not worried about, but they should be maybe a little bit concerned about. And I'm trying to find it here. The Giants' average margin of victory.
Oh, we know that.
It was extremely small. In fact,
four?
If I can find it here, I believe it was the third or fourth smallest margin of victory in the NFL.
Less than 5 points,
believe
right?
it or not. I see average margin of defeat for the Giants was 7 points, which is eighth in the league. I do not see that here offhand. I'll have to try to find that during our first call. But the bottom line, the average margin of victory was extremely, extremely small. And frankly, in 2015, the average margin of defeat was also very, very small. So it shows you how
they won. They lost those 5 games.
Correct. And this year they won a ton of close games. So it shows you, even though they added a bunch of talent on defense, it just shows you how close and small the thin line is between winning and losing in this league that can change year to year.
You know the stats that we usually get every week? They have those,
yeah.
you know. I know that all season, as the season kept progressing, the point differential in the games that the Giants were winning were tops in the league as far as, you know, how close they were.
Average margin of victory for the Giants this year was 5.8 points.
I said 4.
28th
something.
In the league.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was small.
Close game. But they won those games.
Right.
Or in 2015, they did not.
And again, last year, their average margin of defeat was 8 points. So something to keep in mind. All right, 201-939-4513. Richie in Rhode Island, he's going to lead us off on line number 4. He's been on hold the longest. Richie, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Good. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday, Richie. What's going on with you?
Not much. I was just looking back, you know, now we can play theoreticals, you know. I was looking at the injury that happened to Will Johnson.
Yes.
And it said he went to IR on with a burner. I think it was.
Yeah, it was a burner slash shoulder neck injury, one of those.
Okay. I don't know if he would have been ready, like, you know, anyway through the season. I don't know if he got surgery or what his rehab was looking like. But in retrospect, since we kind of left the IR position to Shane Vereen, I would have much rather to bring back Will Johnson if it was possible. If he didn't get surgery, I don't know.
I don't think he got surgery, Richie. And yeah, if you can go back in time and say, look, we now know that Vereen, when he came back, he got hurt again and you really couldn't use him. Would you go back in time and put the temporary IR tag on Will Johnson? I think you probably would. But again, it's really hard to predict. And frankly, I don't know when Will Johnson would have been ready either. I mean, I don't know if it would have been week 8, if it would have been week 13, 14.
And it's a
I don't
neck.
Know.
It's a neck, so you never really – they really don't right. know. You really don't. It's a scary thing. And I think I'm kind of getting what you're going to, too. You know, does this offense need a fullback? You know, if you look at the Packers, they run the same offense. They have a fullback.
And he actually is a pretty important cog in that offense too, Rutkowski.
I'm telling you. I mean, yeah, so you can have that discussion at length too.
Yeah, because you know, when Vereen got back, you know, obviously he gave us help in the passing game, but just the fumbles was just like a killer for us. I think, you know, that's something that he, you know, struggled with, you know, early on in the season. When he came back, I think the Dallas game he even fumbled when he got injured. So I'd much rather Will Johnson, but both times that we play the Packers, you know, I think, you know, what was it, Sunday Night Football, and then in the playoffs, we were just completely outmatched. You know, we obviously – at first it seemed like, you know, had a chance, but then that snowball effect just happened that it just got away from us quick, you know.
Well, this team, when the team gets down, they do not have the firepower to come back and score. They haven't been able to do that all season. So that game, it's just like you said, it snowballed. As soon as they started getting down 7, 14, you know, 17 points, it's going to be really difficult for this team just for the fact that what we just went over. This offense doesn't have the scoring ability to stay in a game with a guy like Rodgers in an offense like the Green Bay Packers as of late. I mean, I think early in the season this Packers offense didn't put on a show like they are now. And really when you talk about that game, that's what happened. The first quarter, first half, they're in it. They don't give up the Hail Mary. The games are totally different in the second half if you go in at halftime minus those 7 points after the Hail Mary, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's completely different. And I don't know, this year since, you know, we didn't have Coughlin, and I think we saw, like, you know, unfiltered Ben McAdoo version this year, pretty much, calling plays and scheme-wise. Obviously, like before, you know, fullback would have made a big difference. But going forward, you know, switching over what you guys were saying from Perkins, I saw a couple of plays, and I just really like what Perkins brings. You know, I think he's the better back that fits for this offense. You know, the shotgun run up the middle, just making something up out of nothing.
Hey, Richie, and I think he works well behind this offensive line because I do think, you know, this thing could change a lot next year. You could have 3 new starters on the offensive line, 2 new starters, who knows. But I think considering the number of free runners you get in the backfield, which is way more than you would like, I think Paul Perkins, as an elusive back, is more effective behind a line like that than a guy like Jennings, who's more of a, you know, grind out the yards, power running, looking for contact type of guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so on now that you kind of brought up the offensive line, and Jerry Reese has, you know, made it known now, you know, he's open to moving Flowers. What I was thinking is that if he does move to the right side, that kind of benefits from Eli's not having him on his blind side, you know. So if he does give up pressures, if he is on the right side, if Flowers does give up pressures, then, you know, Eli would be able to see it a little bit more and make an adjustment to it.
You know, it's funny. Studies have shown, Richie, that pressure from the blind side and non-blind side are almost identical. There really isn't much of an advantage of getting it on the blind side, believe it or not. A couple of studies have been done the last couple of years to show that. But, yeah, I agree. I think as an abstract point, I think you'd rather have a better pass protector at left tackle than at right tackle. But like we talked about last week, Jeff, technique problems are technique problems. If he has technique problems at left tackle, he's going to bring those same technique problems over to right tackle unless he fixes his hand placement, fixes his footwork, and gets those things worked out.
What is the common denominator? And that is he's just technique. So it's going to be either way, and he has to work on it this offseason and get with Mike Scolari, the offensive line coach,
yep.
and sit down next to him and go over the tape and say, this is what we're going to work on this offseason, OTAs, all that.
And he has to commit himself to doing it.
If he's going
to
stay at tackle.
And he has to do it. Yeah. Even if you're a guard, you still have to have good hand placement. I mean,
well, no question.
Still technique.
Yeah. And the footwork is much different between guard and tackle.
Yes, absolutely.
As we know. But
how many? Just off the top of my head, have we ever seen Justin Pugh at left tackle?
We saw him. We saw him there. I believe he played a couple games. I believe he played one game there in the preseason in 2015, and he did practice there in the preseason of 2015 as well. But honestly, I know people have asked about this, and to me, Pugh is a perfect, emergency break glass left tackle if you have to. But I think they see him as his best long-term position, Jeff, being guard. You agree?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, he's settled in. He's a borderline Pro Bowl guard.
Yeah.
Pugh.
Yeah, because everybody's, if Moose Flowers to the right, then, well, who's going to – who you got to the left? And
well, that's
the only
trick.
Person I could think of, I was thinking of, is was Pugh. Pugh to the left, obviously.
He may not
but
be.
Honestly, here's my thing, Richie. I think if he is not the left tackle next year, I don't think the left tackle's on the roster right now.
That's what I meant. And they always did the knock on Justin Pugh was his arms, his length,
arm length.
So they, he's better suited at the guard, which he's doing a nice job at.
You got anything else for us, Rich?
Thanks,
yeah, thank you, Rich.
You guys have a good weekend.
You too.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. Jersey Chris, still in New Jersey. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
What's going on?
Congratulations to the new president-elect, Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And President Obama for giving us a great 8 years with a smooth transition.
We keep it nonpartisan here, Jersey Chris. That's what I like to hear.
That the NFL can still continue without smooth transitions in a democracy. We don't have football, fellas. Okay, here we go.
Hello? Jersey Chris.
I hear him a little bit.
I hear him muffled. It sounds like someone might be putting one of those things over his mouth and again. we'll try to get Jersey Chris back up. It sounds like he lost his voice there. Well, good day or not yet? Nothing? He dropped? All right. Jersey Chris, call us right back, I promise. You'll be the first guy up on the board. Drew in Virginia will take his spot. Drew, what's going on? Wally Pip, Jersey Chris for me, all right?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Drew?
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Good, good.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, hey. Drew. How about yourself?
Good, good. Hey, I just got a quick question, man.
Sure.
I saw the other day that the Seahawks may lose a draft round pick for not reporting an injury.
Yeah, I saw that. They might lose a second round pick for not announcing the Richard Sherman injury.
They should.
Which, by the way, Pete Carroll, if you're going to do it right. Don't say after the season's over that we've been hiding this injury. I mean, at least be smart about your lying. Don't lie and then admit it afterwards. I mean, come on.
Well, evidently somebody must have caught him, so he had to say it, right?
I saw that part, too, because I was curious. Actually, I saw that, with regards to I saw the report first that they may lose a second-round draft pick. And then after that, I saw that Pete Carroll announced, like you said, what he did.
And, Drew, by the way, they lost a fifth-round pick already this year for having full contact in OTAs last year. So the Seahawks have got to get their ducks in a row there. They're playing fast and loose out there in Seattle, but people are starting to pay attention to it.
That's true. I was going to say something snide about the New England Patriots.
Go ahead, Drew. We like that. It's all right.
but my question is, okay, because I'm not, familiar with the rules or anything.
Yes.
So could you explain to me, really what's the significance? Why is that important? What is the – in other words, why am I required – to report my injuries? I mean, outside the obvious part, probably you want to report them because you don't want players, being hurt or, you know, or being used in a, you know, maybe that's part of it. But is there a competitive reason, you know, because the penalty seems awfully stiff. So can you explain that to me if you know?
I don't know. All I can say is that they try to make it fair for everybody, because if you're going to start hiding injuries, everybody's going to start. It's tough. And so I think that they made a rule that says, listen, if there's injuries, you're going to have to report them. So it's documented. And if we go back and check and you got document, because listen, as a player, if you're in the training room, they're documenting when you're in there, all your injuries, everything like that. The league can easily come in and check the records is probably what happened.
Right.
And they said, hey, well, why is it, look at in week four, Sherman was not on your list, but he had treatment for a knee injury here.
And you're quite frankly, then you can start telling teams that a guy's going to be out, then you play him. A guy's going to be in, then he's out. I mean, you can do a lot of gamesmanship with that. And I think, frankly, the benefit of making that rule for having to report injuries is for the fans. It's for you. It's for us. It's for the media. So we know what to expect in a game so we can properly report about it, properly analyze it, properly talk about it. And as everyone knows, fans like to watch football, but they also like to have their own fun on the side with football and fantasy leagues and maybe some other stuff too.
Yep.
So I think those are all things that come into it when they make these teams report these injuries so they can figure that stuff out.
Drew, you'll enjoy this.
Okay.
So when I was in the league, every once in a while, I would come across a guy that I didn't know. It was a friend of a friend that would ask me about injuries.
And you know why he's asking, don't you?
And you know why he was asking. And it was in a roundabout way. We'd be at a party or something, and he'd come up to me and say, hey, so how is so-and-so? You think he's going to play this weekend? And I'm like, who are you? You know, like, I have idea who you are. Yo, I'm a friend of John's, you know? Yeah, oh, yeah, really? Oh, yeah. Are you a Giants fan? Oh, huge Giants fan. Love the is Bradshaw going to play?
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
So you're right, John. It has to do a lot with, so you know, all that kind of good stuff that goes on, the auxiliaries of football, I guess, right?
Auxiliaries of football. I like that.
Oh, yeah, I got you. All right, man. And then, you know, actually, man, I'm going to just ask this question.
Yeah,
I'm
go ahead.
Man. But my last question is actually to do with the playoffs. I kind of felt like going in, into the season, I didn't really see per se a challenger to New England. I kind of thought for a second, but I was stupid, that that the Kansas City Chiefs would be it. But then after seeing the game, I kind of kicked myself in the behind because there was no way Alex Smith was going to beat New England. So, you know,
I agree.
Thank you, Pittsburgh Steelers, for setting me straight on that one.
I think they got a chance, too, by the way.
I think they have a chance,
that's
but I think it's going to be tough.
You know, do you think of all the I kind of think they have a chance. I hope they got a chance because I'm not a New England fan by any stretch of the imagination. But and then the Green Bay Packers, I kind of feel like their luck is going to run out. But, you know, what are you guys thinking? And that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you, Drew.
Enjoy a great weekend.
Good segue.
You too, Drew. Appreciate it. Excellent segue.
I think that the Steelers have a chance because I don't think that the Patriots – I think they're good, but I think they can be beat. I know it's going to be a tough game. Obviously it is. It's at home. They're the Patriots. You got all that going for them. But I just think as long as those three guys are healthy with the three Bs, the killer Bs, I mean, you're going to have to do something with Antonio Brown because I know about Bill Belichick. He's going to target Antonio Brown. They're going to try to stop him.
And not target in terms of trying to injure him.
No, target in terms of trying to stop. And I think that you're going to see a little bit of difference in maybe putting Le'Veon Bell out as a receiver a little bit more to take him out of the box and, you know, try to create something. It's just chess match. Now, on the flip side of the NFC, I think that Drew might have something. I think that the Packers are good, but I don't think their defense is good enough to stop Matt Ryan and that offense.
Their defense isn't good enough to stop anybody.
That offense is legit in Atlanta now. They can run the football, and they will throw it at it will on you.
By the way, in that dome, best offense in football.
It's unbelievable.
They're so balanced.
They can go to anybody. They can and Matt Ryan is just in fuego right now.
He completed passes to 10 different receivers last week.
He's really good. And I would like to see it. I tell you what, I was watching the Dallas game over the weekend.
And by the way, you were right about that game.
I did pick that game.
Tip my cap to you on that one. Good job, my friend.
The you would have thought that the Giants just won the Super Bowl when the ball went through the uprights to beat the Cowboys. It was, everybody was yelling and screaming. It's like, it was crazy. But that's coming from a true Giants fans because of what happened. So anyway, that's my take. What about you, John?
I'm going to go down with the ship on the Packers. I've been saying they're not that good for a couple of weeks, and Aaron Rodgers keeps proving me wrong and keeps pulling things out of his, you know what? Jeff, it's a tie game. They have a 3rd and 20 on their own 30-yard line, and they somehow – the Cowboys could have allowed a 25-yard pass for a first down.
Give it to them.
And they would have been fine.
Yeah.
But the Packers got 38 yards or 36 yards, whatever it was, 35, and then – Mason Crosby, who, by the way, give that guy credit for kicking those two long field goals at the end of that game and make it a third when they call timeout to freeze him.
And so, also give it to the to,
job.
To what's his name? The guy from Bailey. Those guys kicked 4 field goals with a matter of 2.5 minutes in the game.
It's amazing.
But more with Crosby, they ice the guy. He just crushes it. You know, I mean, right down the middle.
By the way, let me ask you something about kicking. Both those kicks that went in for him, they start going, like,
left,
the first kick he made,
come back.
It looked like it was going to slice out. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And the next one, it looked like it was going to go, whoop, whoop,
know what happens
and turn
there?
It around. How does that work?
It works with the foot position on the ball. It's almost like in baseball, knuckleballers, the way they throw a ball, it just kind of, you know, moves. It's different hand positions on it. You know, I throw a slider, you throw a knuckleball, you throw a curveball.
Now, you're not trying to kick it that way, right?
No. What I'm saying is, look at this.
There we go. You got it.
So by the time when his foot normally, if his foot is kicking.
Yeah, do it right here, Jeff, so people can
look
see
it. If his foot is normally kicking like right here, he hits it just a little bit high.
Okay.
And it moves the ball different, where right here it's more this. Here it's this angle.
And then the way the ball's
spinning
in the air.
And the way the centrifugal force takes it this way. Where if a guy hooks it, his plant foot is way – excuse me. If he hooks it, his plant foot is in front of the ball, and it comes through like this. And when he pushes it, his plant foot is in front of the ball, and it goes like that.
It's very similar if you're a golf swing, guys. If your golf swing's coming outside in, you're going to
slice
it.
Yep.
If you're going to come inside out and turn your foot around, then that's going to be a hook.
A lot of times when I would look up to see the ball going, and if I saw it having that rotation – you could tell it was gonna fade back into the middle of the field. Now, some guys like Lawrence Tyne, Matt Barr, guys I've held field goals with for before, they have a natural draw, just like a golfer. They hit a draw off the tee. You know, their ball will start out right, but they play a little bit of a draw. Different.
Interesting. All right. Anyway, back to the games. I just wanted to get your take.
But it was
on
pretty
that.
Cool.
So I think the bye really hurt Dallas last week. I thought it took their defense about a quarter and a half to get going. I think. If they would have played the way they did in the second half the whole game, they probably would have won by a couple of scores.
They did
but
play well.
That's how it goes.
In the second half.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Packers did what they had to do. Aaron Rodgers did what they had to do. I think the Falcons are going to come out going a million miles an hour. I think they're going to put a 40 spot up on Green Bay. 40.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't think Green Bay can sustain that over the course of an entire game. I think the Falcons is good enough to hold them to between 28 and 31. So I think the Falcons win that game 38-28, 41-32.
I think the Falcons are going to get in the 30s, and I think that the Packers are going to stay in the high 20s. I don't think they're going to get in the 30s.
And I'm rooting for the Falcons to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'd like them to go.
I like Matt Ryan. I've always defended him on the show. I think he's a good guy. Julio Jones, to me, is a great wide receiver, great role model, keeps his mouth shut, doesn't say anything. Big fan. I like the way they play. So I want them to win. AFC, the reason the Patriots, to me, are still probably the favorite to win the Super Bowl is they're balanced. And I don't mean on one side of the ball. Their defense is good, and they have Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So they can stop people, and they can score. They can run it with Blunt. They can throw it to running backs out of the backfield. They have a tight end. They have a bunch of different receivers they can give the ball to. So to me, that's why the Patriots are so dangerous. And as good as those three guys are for the Steelers and – no one has more respect for those three guys than I do. They're fantastic. Their defense is still young. They make mistakes. And I think Tom Brady will figure out a way to take advantage of that enough, and they'll score in the mid to high 20s. The Steelers have not been the same on the road this year, especially offensively. I think on the road this year, Ben Roethlisberger just 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, so he has not been the same on the road. He will still try to squeeze the ball into the small spot in the red zone at the wrong time and throw that pick. I think – the difference in that game is the Patriots' defense is better than the Steelers' defense, and that's why I think they win.
Patriots' DBs are good.
And trust me, I'll be rooting for the Steelers.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm rooting for the Steelers. I want the Steelers to win. I'm picking the Steelers to win, but you'll see.
And I think that Patriot-Falcons Super Bowl, if it's that, will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people would really like to see a Rodgers-Brady.
Yeah.
That would be, for the networks, would be an amazing Super Bowl.
And watch Julio Jones's toe, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Keep an eye on it, because that's a big deal. Not just this week.
Yeah.
He'll have 2 weeks off before the Super Bowl, which will help him. But
well, also,
those turf toes don't heal. That's going to be that way until he gets to next season.
And, you know, the Packers could be missing Davis and Jordy Nelson this week.
And even Geronimo Allison missed practice this week, too. I think the injuries are just piling up for them.
I had heard on the radio that Jared Cook, the tight end.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Couldn't get his first name. They had practiced that play all week, the one at the end of the game, and he couldn't stay in bounds.
Is that true?
That's what I heard on the radio.
Oh, that's funny.
And, of course, he picks a good time, if you're a Dallas fan, to catch it in bounds.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. What a game, though. I mean, the games that last week were, I mean, really good. And listen, if you're an offensive lineman and you
And, you know, it's funny, too, watching that last play with Jared Cook real quick. People blame Byron Jones for that because, look, he was the guy carrying him across the field. Apparently, the deep corner was supposed to
move up,
be shallower and be on Cook there. So, apparently, that wasn't Jones' fault.
Open.
I have not looked at the tape on that to confirm that, but that's what people tell me.
Well, he was wide open, and it was an unbelievable pass.
Wide, I think, is a little bit of a stretch because –
he wasn't wide open. He wasn't covered.
Correct.
There we go. Because he wasn't wide open.
There was a window.
Yeah.
There was a window.
But to be rolling to his left and throwing it's just a great game.
By the way, did you have a problem with the hold on the two-point conversion for the Chiefs? To me, they tackled James Harrison and they hooked him around the neck. I had no problem with it.
I have no problem with the call.
I don't understand. How
was
Andy Reid saying that's a bad call?
What are you watching, dude? He's got his arm around him.
You can't. The guy gets around him. And by the way, that's a sack if he doesn't hold him. Harrison has Alex Smith dead to rights.
That is a tough penalty because you go from the 2 yard line to the 12.
I know.
That's hard.
It is. And by the way, Travis Kelce should pipe down too.
What is his deal?
How about catching that deep post over the middle when the ball's
right
in your
hands? How about just shutting up?
How about that? All right, let's go to Jersey Chris. He's back with us. Jersey Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me back again.
Now, no worries.
You got to pay your phone bill, man.
I know, man. I don't know. I had music in my ears. I don't know what the heck happened.
That was John singing to you.
thanks again. I think it's going to be New England and Atlanta. And, John, I agree. I think Atlanta's going to win it. That's my opinion there. With a lot of stuff that you guys referred to about those two teams. A couple of things I just want to mention.
Sure.
This mystery thing that Reese is talking about, the offensive line, I'm so glad that he's out of that mind sink. I'm glad that he knows we need a tackle and a guard. John, you said earlier in the week you were going to do some research on the offensive lineman first.
What about that?
Maybe a little deeper next week.
What are you looking for specifically? And whatever you're looking for, I'll try and do it for you.
What free agents are out there? Those kind of guys.
I will start doing work on that next week, Chris. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Because I think with $3 million in the cap this year, the cap going up.
$30 million.
And with cuts and everything else that's going on, we can get about maybe, $126 million overall cap with all the free agents, whatever. $44 to $48 million we could probably wind up
right now, Jersey Chris, the reports are that the Giants will have somewhere, depending on where the cap goes, somewhere between like 32 and 35 is where they sit right now. One onerous number that was out there was a couple websites, and again, I don't know what the actual numbers are. I'm just going based on what's online. The Giants don't release that sort of stuff. But a couple websites had the Giants carrying over $11 or $12 million from last year's cap. Apparently, incentives in a lot of contracts took that number way down.
Exactly.
So they're really only carrying over about $2 or $3 million, which is why they're going to have about $32 million in cap space instead of $42 million. Again, that could go higher or lower based on where the salary cap lands.
Yeah,
right.
I there's a couple of guys that's on my 35 guys. I'm not counting the practice squad, whatever. My 35 guys that I have, I'm around that $43, $44 million. I don't have Cruz on my team. Marine, I don't have on my team. I think these guys are injury prone. I'm cutting a little bit more than what probably a lot of other people are looking to cut and taking a hit on whatever the salary cap may be. But I only want to emphasize my draft preferences are, John, it would be a travesty if we don't get a tight end. I totally agree with you. It would be a travesty.
And it's a good tight end draft, too, by the way. There's a lot of good tight ends in this draft.
Put him on the bottom of the list. Hodges is not my guy. There's three, four other guys, five other guys that are better than Hodges out there.
Well,
you
listen,
agree with that somewhat.
Well, let me just – so the Giants drafted a tight end last year, okay, who played pretty decently towards the end of the season.
Late sixth-round pick.
Yeah, okay.
And Will Johnson's coming back, too.
So Adams, okay. So, you know, don't get too excited about, you know, a top pick in as a tight end.
I wouldn't mind having a dynamic receiver, a tight end, Jeff.
I wasn't referencing him as a number one. I was referencing
tight end
in the third round.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe there is one if it's something that they think, you know, you need three tight ends. All right,
do. That's the point.
You know, you're not going to cut Will Tye. I mean, are you?
I don't know about that. But he made the rookie team?
I don't know. But I'm saying, you know, you got a draft pick in
Well,
Adams.
He won't be here in camp to compete.
That's exactly
Will Tye,
right.
Absolutely.
So maybe,
My other preferences is, maybe we can get a guard somewhere down the road in the draft. I think defensive line could be a first-round pick for us. It's always good to have depth. We're still not too sure about Robin and Bromley. Okay, and with all honesty, these guys played a lot of snaps this year.
That's a good point.
And we need a little bit of rotation there, right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right, and you would like to be able to get Vernon and JPP if he's back off the field a little bit more. I don't disagree with that. That's
but
fair.
You could use some depth. I mean, Okwara played very well last year. You know, but you could always use depth at the defensive
And by the
line.
Way, this is a very deep corner and defensive line draft. Early mock drafts have
my
almost 15 or 16 D alignment and cornerback combined going in the first round. So.
You never have enough good corners.
Or
you
can't have enough pass rushers, you can't have enough cover guys. So on that, Chris, I think we're on the same page.
My last thing, I'd love to get a tall wide receiver, 6'2". I like a Plaxico Burress type, in my opinion. And you know what? A running
hard
back.
To find.
Our quality 6'4". Last year was my running back to pick. I like the guy. Lacey was my guy back then to pick. We wind up at Williams for 3 years, whatever. That's in the past. And my final thought. There's a quarterback at Texas Tech, Mahomes. He's a junior.
Okay, I'm not that familiar with him. I got to be honest with
John,
you.
John, just look up his numbers. Your eyes going to pop out. I'm telling you. Look at this guy's numbers.
Will do.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
All right, appreciate the call, man.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Chris.
You guys. You make my day complete. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank
just
you.
Remember, Texas Tech runs that crazy spread thing, too. Yeah. So that is far from a
numbers
pro NFL
system. Yeah, exactly. There would be those here.
Look at Bryce Petty at Baylor. It's the same deal. Look at the numbers he puts up.
And before you know it, we will be talking about the draft and the free agencies and all that stuff.
East-West Shrine.
Which is your forte. You're good. You're really good at that stuff. You know me. I am not the best.
East-West Shrine game this weekend. Senior Bowl next weekend. A lot of kids have bailed out of the Senior Bowl. You have about six or seven top seniors not playing in that game now, which is you know, if you don't want to play in the game, I get it. You should still go down there and practice and let the coaches and teams see you practice for 3 or 4 days. That doesn't make any sense to me. Especially a guy like Deshaun Watson, and you have a chance to sell yourself to a team like the Browns, who have the top pick in the draft and the top pick in the second round. You don't want to go there and show the Browns what you can do for 3 or 4 days? Why not? I don't get that. If you don't want to play in the game and get hurt, I get it. Go show the coaches what you can do a practice. You're helping yourself. Look, why do you think the Cowboys picked Dak Prescott?
I know.
They coached him in the Senior Bowl.
And listen, I don't believe it's all them. It's their agents.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more of them than not them. The other people, excuse me. So, and it's unfortunate but I do see their side of it. Especially a Deshaun Watson who, you know, you get hurt. That's millions and millions of dollars. He doesn't have anything else to prove.
You're not getting hurt in practice, though.
Yeah, come on, John. Yeah, why not?
These are the quarterbacks. No one's touching these guys in practice.
Non-contact, drop back, Teddy Bridgewater.
I guess.
I mean, it happens. You got to understand.
You're working out every day in the gym, though. You can hurt yourself there just as easily as you can on the
field. Yeah, but I feel like, you know, in practice, and they're down there for 4 or 5 days, they're dropping back 150, 200 times a day. You know,
I hear you.
So that's just kind of that. And that's how they throw caution to the wind. And it is unfortunate.
I get it.
And you know what? Really? Does anybody ever watch the East-West Shrine game? Probably not.
See, now, and here's the thing. That's why people, you know, even it goes back to the bowl game where, you know, a couple of the guys, you know, Leonard Fournette, for example, didn't play in the bowl game.
McCaffrey.
And look, I get it. You don't want to risk injury in a final game. You're not going to win the national championship. But then at what point should you stop playing games? If you think you're going to be a top five pick and it's week six of the college season and you already have two losses, oh, what's the point of finishing the season? I'm just going to stop playing now after week six.
Well, there was a guy that did that this year. That happened. I can't remember what team it was, but the guy quit on his teammate during the season.
And that's the thing. You're not quitting on the team. You're quitting on your teammates. And that's, to me, I don't know. I play in a dopey rec league basketball team. It kills me when I can't show up for one of these games. I feel like I'm leaving my guys in a lurch.
Well, you're different than a lot of other people. I will tell you, these guys, they think about themselves. It's all about themselves.
Oh, no, and I get it. There's $1 million at stake. I understand that. But I think the question eventually has to be asked then is, where do you draw the line?
You draw the line with regular season. I can tell you that right now. You play the regular season.
Okay.
And then after the bowl game, I can see what they mean about that.
Do you have a problem with them sitting at the bowl game?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
But if that starts coming sooner, then you have an issue.
No doubt, okay. In my mind.
That's
because
fair,
I feel like that's quitting on your team.
Okay.
That's basically telling your team, hey, guys, you guys, you know, you're horrible. I'm better than you guys. I'm going in the draft. I'll see you later.
If that's where the line is drawn, I can live with that. But I'm afraid that we're going to have, like, for example, let's say you have a second-year sophomore that has a monster year.
Well, look at McCaffrey.
Right?
He had a monster year his sophomore
right.
year.
Let's say the next Christian McCaffrey goes out there and says, you know what, I have to play college football for a third year. But you know what? I'm going to be a top five pick. I don't want to go out there and get hurt next year. I'm going to sit out my junior year and just go into the draft. When does that start happening? People were trying to get Leonard Fournette to do that this year. There were people lobbying for him to do that this year.
I wouldn't doubt if that someday exists.
And I feel like once you start going down that road, I think you get into dangerous territory.
Well, I feel like then it has to do something with scholarship. You know, listen, when you sign your scholarship, you got to play for three years.
Well, and then the kid's going to say, well, then you know what? Bye-bye scholarship. I just won't go to class for a year either. I'll just work out every day.
Yeah, but you have to be in school for the NFL rule. You have to be in school for 3 years. So,
or you have to be a certain age, right?
What is it?
Isn't it,
Dave?
3 years or a certain age?
3 years out of high school.
Oh, is that the rule? It's not 3 years of college, it's 3 years out of high school?
No, and I think just so you know, and we probably won't get to the game today, but I do. Eric Swan was another one of my teammates. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Eric Swan?
No, we'll get to the game. Remember, we start a little bit late, so we got a couple minutes.
Eric Swan was a defensive lineman who came out of high school, never went to college.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm wondering if back then that was the 1994.
Wow.
And in 1994, I don't know if that rule still existed that it was 3 years out of high school or not. But maybe, you know, maybe. Oh no, you know what? It still was, John, because he played semi-pro ball. That's what it was.
Oh.
He played semi-pro ball.
And you know what? That makes sense. Here we go. Here's the rules according to our good producer Dave Dominic. A player must be out of high school for at least 3 years. If a player enters a draft and does not sign a contract, he can be drafted again the following year. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, perfect. So, yeah, it's not college for 3 years. It's out of high school for 3 years. So you can sit out then that third year after your first 2 years
of
college.
And you know what? To be honest
with you,
that's
what I thought it was.
And if you're a Christian McCaffrey and you did that, the NFL is not going to spite you for doing it. They're going to say, oh, okay, well, come on. We'll work you out.
But is that going to hurt your career, though?
Both,
not playing football for a year, not getting better. Every game you play, you get better.
But I gotta feel like those guys have to be a first round guy.
I think top 10 guy, not even first round. You got to be a top 10.
Okay, guy.
Okay,
I'll give you maybe half 15 and above.
Okay,
yeah, exactly. Because if you're gonna do that and they come out and you're gonna be a second rounder, well, you're a fool. That's because maybe if you play and you're kind of predicted to be a second rounder and you play well. Hello, go play the game, and then you get better. Now you can become a first-rounder. So look at that side of the coin.
It happens. Look at the NBA. How many of these guys in the NBA come out of college after 1 year and get drafted in the second round with a non-guaranteed contract and get cut? And then they got to go play overseas. When if they would have stayed in college for 2 more years or a year even, you could be a top 15 lottery pick. But these guys don't have any patience, and they don't want to wait.
It's unbelievable.
All right, yeah. Joshua in Brooklyn. He's going to wrap us up, our final call. So, Joshua, you got about 2.5 minutes.
Thanks, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, thank you for being
calling.
Part of the
Happy
show,
Friday.
Josh, and thank you for listening.
Sorry to get you on the back end. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm just glad to be here. So I wanted to ask about the playoffs. I was thinking about that last game the Giants had against Green Bay. And, you know, I guess we could all say we have our disappointments with what happened. And so I wanted to bring up going on for next year. What do you think, at least looking back at it, happened to the team? I know that we had our problems on offense. We know that we were seemingly, I don't know, couldn't score a lot. And part of me was wondering if it had something to do with, you know, the overall focus of the entire team. Like, was everybody really all in to go for this for the championship? Perhaps some of them couldn't handle the moment. And just to add a little, add another question for you, Jeff. Going in for the 2007 season, when you guys won the Super Bowl, what was that like? What was that aura? What was the focus like? I'll take it off the air.
Thank you, Joshua. I'll answer the first part of your question first. You want a breakdown of why the Giants didn't win this year? Go back, listen to the podcast, the first 15 minutes of the show. Jeff and I really break it down. Bottom line, didn't run well enough on first down, not enough big plays, didn't score enough points. We talked about how poor the Packers' defense is this year. The Giants scored 13 points against them in the first round of the playoffs.
And I think
bottom line, period.
Yep, and an experience, too. I think guys push a little bit harder when they know there isn't a game the following week.
They press.
They're young. They do have that experience now, and that will help them going forward.
How about his 2007 question?
I forgot. Talk about the playoff or the whole season?
No, 2007, getting ready, whether or not you thought going into that season the guys really thought they had it in them to win the Super Bowl the mindset was.
It was that last game against New England.
So you don't think the team really believed until that New England game?
No, I think going into that last game, I felt like we thought we could beat New England. We were that good. We were okay. We were 9-7 that year, but I think the year before was even – or the year after was better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we really knew we could win the Super Bowl again that way. We were 11-0, I believe, at one point in time.
Best Giants team I've covered since I've been here was that 2008 team. It wasn't close.
Oh, my God. But when we played the New England Patriots, that was kind of the catalyst for us because we knew that they were undefeated. We knew that they were going to be the favorites to win the Super Bowl. We competed with them, and we just didn't make enough plays in that game. And that kind of gave us confidence that if we got into the playoffs and we won our first game, it just built on it. It's called confidence is what it was. It was and making plays.
You ready?
Yeah, let's go. Okay, where am
I? It's time for everyone's favorite game.
What are we over there?
I like this.
What are we play with there? Jeff Eagles.
We got to go over the. One day.
22 NFL season.
We do.
Wow. Right.
Hundreds of players.
Eagles with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so.
John Schmelk.
Eagles 17-11. He's on a hot streak. He has gotten 6 out of his last 7 questions correct. All right. Pretty good.
Let me get some water. Let me lube the brain.
By the way, that is the biggest travel mug I've ever seen. What is that, like a gallon?
I don't know, but it's pretty good.
It looks heavy, too.
It's insulated. I could put cold water in this. It'll last all day.
All right, here we go. Did you play with Darnell Dinkins?
Oh, of course I did. Come on. You even know Dink.
When did you play with Darnell Dinkins?
Well, he's with the Giants.
Very Come good. On. What years?
Darnell was, let's see, 2003, I'm going to say 2005 through 2007?
You got lower. He was 2002, 2003. That's fine, though. You're good. All you right. got it right. You got okay. the team right, and you had the...
Oh, yeah, Darnell.
All right, I don't think you know Darnell, okay? Did you play with Ty Howard? Ooh. Ty Howard.
I know that name.
Congratulations.
But did I play with him is the question. I don't think I ever played with Ty Howard. Ah, damn it.
You played with Ty Howard at the Arizona Cardinals in 1997 and 1998.
My last years there.
He played 15 games and started 2 as a defensive back in Arizona.
Ty Howard. Wow, that's a
5 foot
one.
9, tiny guy.
Oh,
went
I
to
do
Ohio
remember.
State.
I do remember him. Yes, I do.
Do you remember,
him.
Or are you just making?
No,
that
I do.
Up?
I do remember him. He was a very small guy. Yeah. He's a little nickel corner.
By the way, we do have, you're right, I forgot. We have all these predictions from the year on the board.
I know.
Next week, we will go through these.
That's a fun thing to do.
Do you want me to save these for next Friday for you?
Yeah, let's save them.
We're going to do those next Friday.
And I'll tell you what we can do. At the beginning of the show, we can maybe tell some of the callers, if they're listening, we'll go over their own picks.
Oh, okay.
Say, hey, you know, whoever it is and so-and-so, if you want to call in.
All right, so if you're listening, folks, next Friday, we'll go through all your predictions for the year, see how that went. And then, boy, we're going to have to start getting ready for the Senior Bowl, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
Start doing your work, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Although, I want to tell you something. Because of last year when we went over all this stuff, I paid a little bit more attention to college football this year.
That's good.
I did. So I'm going to know a little bit more about college football than I did last year.
See, and now here's my problem with this.
And I'll tell you what, real quickly. I like college football. I do. I kind of rekindled my relationship with college football last year. I really enjoy watching it.
Now, college football is fine. I have no problem with it. My problem is that I'm a married man, and I work on Sundays, and I travel every other weekend. If I try to take a Saturday that I'm home during the fall, which is basically seven of them, and I tell my wife I want to watch college football, she's going to give me divorce papers.
See, one of the good things that I have here at working for the Giants is I am one of the few that don't travel on the weekends.
That is true.
And I get to stay home and watch some football.
And a lot of times when I travel on Saturday, you get there and all the games are over. You'll have one in the game at night or something like that to watch.
Right.
You don't really get a whole lot out of it. So
yeah,
it's tough. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
Great show, guys.
Enjoy championship weekend. Feagles and I both have the Patriots and the Falcons heading to the Super Bowl. We both prefer to have the Steelers and the Falcons heading to the Super Bowl.
I will not be here next Friday. I'm going to be on Thursday next week.
Oh, okay. So we can do it next Thursday. That's fine.
Good. Are you with me on Thursday?
I should be, yes.
Okay, good.
Correct.
All right, there you go. We'll do it next Thursday.
Thank you, Jeff. Next Thursday, it'll be Jeff Feagles and I breaking everything down. All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. For Jeff Feagles, I am John Schmelk. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy championship weekend. Have a great one, everybody.